We don't want anyone to leave here sober. Praise you. Lord, just fill us afresh. You said, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I want to welcome everybody here that's new. Amen. We really are crazy. There isn't anything that you're misinterpreting. We're crazy over Jesus. We're peculiar, you know, very peculiar. Yesterday, I got an opportunity to speak at volunteer thing at the jail, you know, where they're awarding volunteers that were going into the jail. It's beyond me why they asked me to speak there, but to God be the glory. And so we got to speak to the warden and the chaplains and some of the volunteers there. And it was just an honor because it was an honor and gratefulness of the volunteers that don't get paid and go into the jails and minister and so forth. And one of the things I began to share about is how we're peculiar. And I began to speak to the volunteers there and uplift them because, you know, when we go into the jails, there are officers and so forth, and these officers, and they're beginning to know you. So as they begin to know you, they begin to step back a little bit as you're laying hands on people and they're getting slain in the spirit, and as you're casting out devils or you're praising and worshiping the Lord and so forth, you know. And I share with them to hang in there, especially because we're peculiar people. Sometimes there's an officer out for a week or he's sick or something or on vacation. They bring in a new officer. And I'm telling you that one time I got pulled out and they were going to throw me out because everybody was praising and worshiping the Lord and jumping around. And an officer came in there and told me I was starting a riot. I was inciting a riot. And I thought, well, praise God, you know. He says, you can't do that. You're inciting a riot, you know. Then one time they told me I couldn't lay hands on people, so I just backed up, and there was another officer saying, man, you can't be laying hands on people and stuff, so we just backed up, and all of a sudden some guy went flipping and flapping out of his seat, and anointing of God hit him, and the officer ran over there wondering whether he was going to call 911 or anything, you know. I'm like, hold on, that's God. That's God. And they were like, what? No, wait, I need to get a paramedic in here. I said, he's got a paramedic. You know, so there's a lot of things that you got to put up with in the jail. And sometimes you're persecuted, and sometimes you're removed. And I've been thrown out of volunteer positions many times. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, praise God. It wouldn't be the first place I was thrown out of. But, you know, some people just don't want to know the truth. And that's what we're to do, to declare the truth. You know, I'm not out. Listen, one thing I don't have time for is a fiddle around with people's emotions. Man, I ain't got time for foolishness. You know? We don't have time for foolishness. Far be it that you have to be around somebody on eggshells. Ooh. No way. You need to just cast that devil out of that person and to God be the glory. Amen? But, you know, we don't have enough. There's not enough time for foolishness. Amen? There's a serious time, and we're in some serious times right now. And it's a serious time to stay drunk in the spirit. That's serious. Amen? Because, you know, we used to go to the bars and get drunk, right? You know why you went there? Because you didn't care afterwards. You went there for one reason, you left there for another. Hello, I forgot what I was here for. You know? But God wants us to be filled with the Spirit of God, especially in these last days. And I'm telling you, we're not in last days anymore. We're last minutes. We have no idea what's about to happen next, but it's about to happen. Does that make sense? It better if you're in the Spirit. We don't know what's about to happen, but it's about to happen. To God be the glory. I shared that with my wife the other day. I said, you know, babe, I got up this morning, I came out, and I said, you know, I was done with prayer, and I said, you know, something's about to happen. And I'm talking danger. I'm talking about something's about to happen. You know when people get together? Funerals and weddings. That's when people really get together. You know, family members and stuff, except for our family, we get together in God's presence, right? But, you know, that's when people get together. And, you know, and you know, so many people were talking about even what happened with Hurricane Katrina and so forth and whatever. They were saying that this was God's judgment. No, that was God's warning. If it was his judgment, there wouldn't be a place there. Hello? But it's God's warning. You know, he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no more Sodom and Gomorrah. The warning was over, man. Let me tell you, God's judgment removes. It destroys. What he's doing is warnings, and there's warnings going out everywhere. Everywhere. You know, I think it was last week? Or Tuesday night? When I said God was shaking? You know, we talked about Tuesday night in the Bible study about the deep things of God. Amen? And we're going to talk today about some great things of God. I'll let you know when I get in that position there. Okay? But anyways, would you pray in the Spirit? Because I'm getting drunk, man. I'm trying to focus here. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. So anyways, Tuesday, we had Bible study of whatever it was again. And the Lord was talking about shaking, that God was shaking the earth. You know, there was a great shaking. Whew. There's a great shaking right now. Glory. And Wade, what was I going to say? Would you come up here? Tell them what I was going to say, will you?
There was a tsunami like 2 weeks ago or something like that. And over in the Solomon Islands, it actually raised the whole islands up 10 feet out of the water. So where all the coral reefs were and stuff, they're now out up above the ocean. And all the coral reefs are dying because the island was actually lifted 10 feet off the top.
Thank you. And the people were telling about all the dead fish that were caught on the coral reefs. And it was stinky. You know, and that was a day, I think it happened that same day or whatever, but we got the report the next morning, and Wade brought me that report and said, man, that's what you said last night. And it was not what I said, it was the Spirit said, because God is shaking. Can you imagine being on an island and seeing the water go out, what was it, 550 yards? That's 5.5 football fields away. I mean, you'd be standing there fishing in your nothing box. You mean you're fishing in your nothing box? And next thing you know, I got one. Man, where'd he go? You know, I mean, all of a sudden all the water's gone. 5.5 football fields. Whoa. And they all took off and went up to the mountains. You know, because when you see that water go, you're expecting big to come back. But it didn't. It didn't come back. It's gone. You know, man, I would have grabbed everybody. Come on, let's get the fish while we can. Forget the hook. You know? Hallelujah. I'd open up 10, 15 fish markets then. Well, to God be the glory. Where was I? Where was you? Fishing. I was in my nothing box. Let me get out of there for a minute. Whew. Got hot in here, didn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Nothing like coming to church and having a good time, you know? Praise God. We go to Joel's place. And the Bible says that God will pour out his Spirit in those days, right? And sons and daughters will prophesy. And that's why this here is here. This. So that you can prophesy. So start prophesying, will you? Get this away from me. Whew. How's everybody? Glory. Oh, God. Okay. There's a wind blowing. Babe, you're blowing my pages. For those of you who don't understand this, welcome to the club. No. And the Bible says, what does it say? I know it says something. I know it says something. It's the Constitution. Oh, man, the drink so early in the morning. Well, it's almost noon. We're all right. It's an afternoon cocktail. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, I know I was going to say something. I keep turning these pages, wondering where I'm going, and I don't. Okay, Dad, I need your help, please. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and get drunk like me. Hallelujah! Father, fill us with joy! Yeah! We want more of you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You know, there's nothing worse than a miserable Christian. You know? Especially a woe is me Christian. How many of y'all want to see greater things happen? Yeah! I mean, we want to see greater things, you know? Well, where there's greater things that happen, there must be... where there's... Oh, lift your hands to heaven again. Oh, we want more of you. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you ain't going to get drunk if you don't lift your hands to heaven. So you gotta let that well. I'm going to turn open that valve. Come on, how many times you... Now listen. Hallelujah. Come on, you remember those days when you used to get under that keg and open it up and drink from it? Well, get under the anointing and drink from it today. Yes! Yeah! Hallelujah! Come on, we want more, Lord! We want more! We want more! We want more! Hallelujah! Oh, we love you, Master. Glory, 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 glory. What are you doing with my seed? Hallelujah. Drunk is a skunk. Jesus, fill your daughter. There's the anointing coming on you. You, glory, glory. There's a fire. There's a fire. There's a fire. Fire. Fill her, fill her, fill her, fill her, fill her. Fill her, fill her, fill her. Fill her. Yeah. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. Now we're going to get a real word.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I have to repent. Father God, repent for being a little disobedient, because as we were marching, the Lord was showing me everything that pastors were saying about this. Wow, this reminds me of Pensacola. I didn't get to go over that. Now it's coming to me. I'm receiving it right now. He was showing me, it's shaking. And he said that before revival can come, that there's going to be a big shaking. But it's not just going to happen in the natural, like the tsunamis and the hurricane. It's also going to happen within each one of us. And if you think that things have been shaken in your life, prepare yourself, because it's going to come more shaking. And if you notice so many people around here on their knees and they were crying out to God, he says you need to cry out more. You need to repent. And he said it's not where it becomes a cliche that we just want more. You sing and sometimes you don't even know what you're singing. You really, really got to seek him. He said, if my people will repent, I will heal the land. But it's like Pastor said the other day, he's up to here. He just wants us to seek him, truly seek him in spirit and in truth. Go a little further, go a little beyond. Just be real. Literally take every word that we're singing and let it penetrate. Let it convict you to your bones, because the shaking is coming. It's inevitable. It's coming. It's coming. And there's a cry for war. We have to be ready. We have to stay connected. We are a family. We have to watch out for each other. He wants to pour out his fire. He wants to pour out everything that he has for us. We are his, this is his kingdomship. He's colonizing us. He's preparing us. Every word that's coming down, it's ordained by the Lord. Because he loves us so much, he's preparing us. Because he wants us to be spared, but he wants everyone. Not one should perish. And we have a mission. We are warriors. We're being prepared. Don't take for granted what God is doing sovereignly. He is doing something sovereignly. How dare we take it for granted? How dare we come in and out of here and just think this is for us? This is not for us. There is people dying out there. There's people hurting. And this is not just about you. Oh, shut.
Hallelujah.
I too want to as we were walking around, the Lord gave me 2 Chronicles 7:14 to come up here, and I wouldn't move. But God is requiring more of us. And Pastor preached a while back about the breach in the body and the shift in the spirit. And there's been a recent shift in the spirit, man. And in that shift, a new season has come. And because of the new season, God requires more of us in this season and in this time. And he wants to increase our fellowship with him. God wants to bring us to another level spiritually. And that's what he's doing. And the word of God came to me and said, and says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. And God wants to do something in each one of us. And I also heard Jeremiah 29:11-13. He said that he has a purpose and a plan. He said he knows the thoughts that he has for us, thoughts to prosper us and to give us a future. And he said that if we would humble ourselves, that he would hear from heaven and that he would heal our land.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as servants of the Lord, stewards of the Lord, but one of the things that the Bible requires is that we serve with joy. Amen. Does everybody understand that? We are to serve with joy. Now lift your hands to heaven and start getting joy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Come on, we just want more of you, Lord. We want more of your wine so that we can maintain in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are overcomers. And to you be all the glory, Lord. To you be all the glory. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Give God glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm joyful. I just want to give the scripture that went with what Pastor said because it's very real to me. Because I had gotten into a place where, in Deuteronomy, I think it's 28, it says, because you have not served the Lord your God with gladness for all that I have done for you, therefore I'm going to put a yoke of iron around your neck, and you are going to be made to serve your enemies until you are destroyed. God's given us much, and if we don't serve him with joy and gladness, he will put a yoke of iron around your neck, because he did allow it to happen to me. And I had to repent for not serving him with joy and gladness, and for allowing the weight of the cares of the world and the ministry, motherhood, everything, to weigh me down and to take on the burdens instead of giving them to him. And I had a yoke of iron around my neck, and I was miserable. And since I repented and he took that yoke of iron off of my neck, I've been able to worship him and seek him in a deeper way and to serve him with gladness. So I want to encourage you today, if you've not been serving him with gladness, to repent and ask him to remove that yoke of iron.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad she's serving him with gladness now myself. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're miserable, you can't have no strength. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen? Praise God. What do you got to say, brother? You won't have much if I don't turn it on.
No. Imagine yourselves standing on the world of man as you are now. We all talk about we're going to move to a new level. But then imagine the whole world falls from underneath your feet. You only have split seconds to look up. You see a hand come from heaven. You grab it. He pulls you into the river of joy. Let the river flow upon you. Because he pulls you into heaven and pulls you so you don't fall into the pit and fall forever in hell. God loves you.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now let's lift our hands to heaven again. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Glory. Glory. Hi.
I just want to encourage everybody. Jesus gives me this scripture, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, to cast your cares upon him. And I want to just encourage you that God is so faithful, the Lord is so faithful, and Jesus is gentle and kind and loving and compassionate and caring. And his word is true, his promises are true. You can cling to his word and believe. And what he says in his word that he is going to do, he will do and is doing. I just want to encourage you.
Hallelujah.
To know that.
Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Now, how many of y'all want to do greater things? Hallelujah. Well, to do greater things, you have to go into deeper things of God. Amen. Because they're parallel. You can't expect to do greater things if you're not in deeper things. Amen? Now would you turn to John 14? Hallelujah. Whew. Oh, hallelujah. You never know what day is going to do. Thank God we just show up. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In John 14 and verse 12. Is everybody there? I want us to read this together. Now, we want to go into the deeper things of God, don't we? Why? So that greater things can happen. And in John 14 and verse 12, what does it say? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now I want you to see something very important here. I want you to take your pen, and I want you to, or your highlighter, and highlight in me. Everybody say, in me.
In me.
See, Jesus did not come and say, if you believe me, hello. He was not talking about himself. He never came to talk about himself. Are you with me? He came to talk about who was in him. Come on, get this now. So he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, not me, but in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That means you need to get a revelation of who was in Jesus. Now, I want you to hold your fingers there, all right? And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, don't hold all your fingers there, okay? Then you won't be able to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? And verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Is everybody there? Say it. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Wow. Has everybody got this? Jesus never wanted glory. Do you understand that? In fact, we'll go a little bit further here. Go to John 14 and verse 13 now. Are you ready? Come on, let's read it together. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. He who believes in me will do greater works. Not he who believes me. He who believes in me will do greater works. Are you with me? Come on, let's keep going. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So who was Jesus? He was a helper, wasn't he? Amen? Now watch. That he may abide with you forever, because he said he wasn't going to. Because he was what? In the flesh. Hey, verse 17. Come on. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But he said he dwells with you, but he's not in you yet. So he was pointing to him who was in him, wasn't he? Okay, let's go a little further. He says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. But see, he was going to come to him in another form, not according to the flesh anymore. Are you with me? That's what 2 Corinthians 16 is talking about. We're no longer to acknowledge Jesus in the flesh. Come on. Are you with me? All right. Now, wait, before we go a little further, hallelujah, let me bring you to the book of Revelation. Revelation, revealing of things unknown. Oh, hallelujah. Are you there? And turn to Revelation chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 9. Revelation 1, 9. And I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as one, as a what? Trumpet. Saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, and saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. That's who Jesus is. Hello. He is no longer. Now, he can appear any way he wants. Do you understand this? Now, go back to John 14. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, well, if we want to do greater things, we have to what? Go deeper. Go deeper. We need to have deeper revelation. We need to connect into the realm and not let go. Now, we just talked about, he said, in me, he who believes in me, not him, but he who's in him will do greater works, right? He said that he's going to, and because you believe in me, the helper, the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of Christ, will come and live in you as the Father lived in me. See, God, the Spirit of God, dwelled in Jesus. Come on. Amen. Now we'll go a little bit further. I'm not going to get into all this yet. Go to verse 7 in John 14. Now we're going to back up a little bit. In verse 7. Is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. If you had known me, you would have known my what? Father. Also, from now on, you know him and what? Have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father where? In me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. The what? The Father who dwells in me does the work. Do you understand that we must get the revelation of Jesus was the vessel that carried the Spirit of God? Amen? He was the host, and that host had to be holy. He was the vessel, the pure, undefiled vessel that carried the presence of God Almighty that created everything. Are you with me? Okay, good. Now, let's go a little further. Hallelujah. Believe in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the what? Sake of the works themselves. So here's a revelation of the Father that lives. Now I want you to understand something. The Father, everybody repeat after me, the Father that lives in His Word. Do you understand that? The Father that lives in His Word. Ooh, cool. All right, the Father, the revelation of the Father that lives in His Word, that is assisted by His Spirit to function in this realm. Has everybody got it? He desired to place His kingdom in His creation of man, known as the temple, to colonize the earth with domination and authority, birthed by Jesus, the Spirit of Christ that will dwell in man. Are you understanding that? I'm going to repeat it. Because I'm still trying to figure it out. Okay. The Father, the Spirit of God, which was in His Word, because the Bible says the Word became flesh. Amen. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and birthed her, impregnated her, right? And she birthed the Spirit of God. Come on, are you with me? Jesus, who became the Christ, and I'm sure He became the Christ, burst the Spirit of Christ for me and you. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So we see that the revelation of the Father that lives in His Word, amen, lives in His Word, He's assisted by His Spirit to function in this realm when He came. His desire was to place His kingdom in all of mankind because they were to be the temples. But His purpose was to colonize the earth, wasn't it? Amen? To have dominion and authority. But it wasn't going to happen until Jesus' death, because He was going to birth the Spirit of Christ for me and you. Amen? Okay, let's go a little further. Go to verse 19. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live and you will also live. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. And I in you. Now he was talking about something future, wasn't he? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and what? Manifest myself to him. Is everybody all right? And I will what? Manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my what? Word. And my Father will love him. And he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So how do you expect to do greater works without a relationship with the Father? Oh, hallelujah. And now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now, oh, hallelujah. He is going to the Father, right? He who is what? Greater, isn't he? Who is greater. So as he goes to the Father, that gives me and you more opportunity to walk in a greater arena. Are you with me? Watch. He's going to the Father who is greater than the creation or manifestation of the Son of Man. Amen? So that we can do greater works. In other words, now we can reach more. Are you with me? Heal more. Save more. House more. Feed more. Clothe more. Visit more. Why? Because he went to the Father and all things will be given unto us. There isn't anything limiting you but you. There is nothing limiting you but you. Now you can blame the devil, but it's your responsibility because you have dominion over the devil, over the powers of darkness, over the kingdom of darkness. The only thing that limits you is you. Now I want to share one other area. What limits you? Your thinking. Because as a man thinketh, so he is. So everybody say that with me. As a man thinketh, so he is. Amen. Now I want to go to John 1. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. And he who believes in me, not me, but in me. And the words that I speak are not mine, but they're him who lives in me. Are you understanding that? Oh, that's what Jesus was saying. What was he trying to bring everybody to? The Father. But understand this. He was introducing him to the Spirit so they can have a relationship with the Father. See, this is what separates kingdom living and religion living. And we're not about a religion. Far be it. We are a kingdom. And in this kingdom, we are citizens. And as long as we walk according to the governing laws that God has placed and walk in alignment with, you have access to the treasures of the King. That's why he said, everything is mine. That's why he said, listen, Jesus said, I've come to bring you life and life more abundantly. But you know what? 90% of the body doesn't live an abundant life. Maybe 10%. I'm talking about the life that God wants us to live. Hello? I'm talking about the life where God wants us to pursue and expanding his kingdom. Not about self-empire building. Amen? Not about storing your treasures on earth. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not about how many toys you have. Oh, hallelujah. And John 1 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Read it with me. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was what? Life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Wow. I'll go to verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Now, what was the Word that became flesh filled with? The fullness of what? What's it say? Grace and truth. Wow. Grace and truth. So the Word birthed by the Father. Hello? Are you with me? Because the Word became flesh. Well, who sent the Word? The Father. Amen? Who sent the Spirit to impregnate Mary? The Father. So when the Word became flesh, which was God, come on, are you with me? So the shell, the vessel, that was holding the Spirit of God was God. Because nothing can hold God. It had to be God. So out of his own creation, out of his Word, he produced, and the Bible says, a body was waiting for him to enter in the Word of God. So he comes in, to this body that was prepared for him, known as the Word, which was the Word of God, which is God. The Spirit of God now dwelling in the God himself, who was the Spirit of God. He came with the fullness of grace and truth. The Word was birthed by the Father with full of grace and truth. What was in Jesus was the Word. Are you with me? What was in Jesus, because Jesus was the Word. Amen? That became flesh. Was the Spirit of grace. God's plan for redemption. That's grace. Because mercy says this. Mercy says, when you cry out for mercy, that means, Lord, consider me. When you cry out for grace, you want His plan in action. Are you with me? So, God's Spirit of grace was in Jesus. In other words, He came with the plan of redemption. He came with the plan of escape from hell. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So, the plan of redemption was brought by the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of truth was brought to expose the ruling enemies of this kingdom. Established, are you with me? The Spirit of truth came to expose the ruling enemy. Because the Bible says Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. How was that happening? He had to carry the Spirit of truth. All right. The Spirit of grace was brought to bring redemption, wasn't it? It was to hold back the judgment of God. It was to put God's plan in action. And so that you and I could co-labor with God. And the Spirit of truth, that's why the Bible says the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from the entanglements and the enemy's deception in your life. Free. That's why there's a lot of people who have knowledge, but they don't understand the knowledge, and it's not truth. And that's why truth is light. Hello? Okay. So, the Spirit of grace was bringing the plan of redemption. The Spirit of truth was to expose the ruling enemies of that kingdom. Amen? So that the kingdom of God could be established on the earth, colonized, and that the armies of the citizens of God, are you with me? Could be armed with the truth and carry it. Are you all with me? Yeah. Well, give God glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, you got to understand, Jesus was carrying eternal life. He was carrying everything that associated with eternity. He was carrying the Spirit of God. He was carrying everything of eternity. You know, when Mary was rocking Jesus, Jesus was rocking Mary. Come on. Why? Because He created her. She thought she was holding a baby. He was holding the whole universe. The Bible says that you and I live and have our being in Him. So when God came into the natural realm, it's like putting your hand in water into another dimension. You know. You put your hand in water and it's different. In other words, if you've ever gone scuba diving, you know, it's a different whole world there, isn't it? Amen? We got to put on all kinds of oxygen and stuff to survive there. Well, God had to put on flesh to survive here. And He had to be guided by His Spirit because He was in a whole other realm. He knew about His creation. He knew about everything, but He now got into His own creation. It's like, just like you were holding an aquarium, you know, and all the fishy are there and everything. Well, you know, you're trying to communicate with them and whatever. The only way to really communicate with them from the real ear is to become a fishy. Amen? So God came into a whole nother realm, and He was guided by His Spirit because He left a place that He'd never dwelt in. Oh, come on, do you understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 John 5. Greater things. The way we get greater things is to what? Go deeper. 1 John chapter 5. No more weenies for Christ. Amen. Hello? No more compromise. No more woes is measies. No more sickness, disease. No more bondage. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, would you read it with me? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus the Christ. Christ was not His last name. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is what? Truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven. The what? The Father, the Word. It didn't mention Jesus, did it? See, because when the Word became flesh, it had to have a name. Hello? See, but the Word didn't become flesh yet. But there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the what? Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So if the Father came to the earth, who else came? The Word and the Spirit. That's called the Christ. The unity of the Trinity in the natural realm is the Christ. Whew, yeah. And there are three that bear witness on the earth. What? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. Greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us. What? Eternal life. And this life is in his what? Son. Why? Because Jesus carried all the elements, characteristics of everything of eternity in him in the natural realm. Everything. Everything was in him. Everything. Everything. Whew. Glory. Everybody all right? Go to verse something. Let's see. 14. Now, the witness on earth is the Christ with the name that has access to the king's treasures. Come on, you get it now? So the Jesus was the Christ now. The Trinity of God had been manifested in the natural realm called the Christ. The anointed one and his anointing. Well, there's only one anointed one and his anointing. That's God Almighty. Right? But again, I share with you that nothing could hold God's presence except for God himself. And because he was not only holding God's presence, he was holding all the attributes of eternity. Amen? So, the witness on earth is the Christ. It should be Jesus the Christ. In fact, the word Christ is a Greek word that means anointed one. But it's the only Greek word we have in this English translation. Hallelujah. See, that's why without the Holy Ghost, you'll never understand this. Come on. It should be Jesus the anointed one, not Jesus the Christ. There's a lot of things in this thing. But you got to have the Holy Ghost to know. Because you got to know the author, then you know what he's talking about. Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus, the witness on earth is the Christ, which was given a name so that you and I can have access to all the king's treasures. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now go to verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we what? He hears us. Hello? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. In other words, all things that pertain to the kingdom living in the natural realm are available to you. Everything. Why? Because all eternity came into the natural realm. And now he left his communicator with you. Everybody, you know, people don't live without a cell phone. I don't know how I lived without one for so long. You know? But now you got a cell phone. But it doesn't irritate you. Hello? I can't say it can't call you at all times of the night because... But he's called the Holy Spirit now. It's called the Spirit of Christ. Again, I want to back up a little bit just to share with you that God, the Father, the Spirit of God that was birthed, carried the Word of God that became flesh, carried all eternity with him. Amen. And this was the Spirit of God. The only way that you could get, which we call now the Christ. The only way that you can get the Spirit of Christ is by his death. Hello? So if you have the Spirit of Christ, that means you have access to all eternity. Nothing should ever limit you. And the only thing that limits you is you yourself. Are you all right? Go to Ephesians 2. Are you in a hurry? Do you want to hear the rest of this? Hallelujah. How many really want to go deeper? How many really want to do greater things? Then we've got to really get a deep revelation. We've got to get deeper into the things of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Ephesians 2, 14. Would you read it with me? For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man. That new man is called the Christ. Oh, hallelujah. From the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to where? The Father. Now do you get it? Mark 16. Man, you're all quiet right now. Either writing novels or you're listening. Or are you doing both? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I said all this to go here. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and ask for another drink. Lord, we need another drink, please. We need another drink, Daddy. Whoo-hoo. Thank you. We need another drink, Dad. Hallelujah. Quicken us, Holy Spirit. Keep us in tune. Don't let us drift or lose focus, but bring us to the deep things that we may know. We may know who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. In Mark 16, in verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. What was the gospel? It's about the kingdom, isn't it? Amen. In verse 15, and he said to them, 16. He who what? Believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those, and I want you to see where it says believe. Now we know that what it means to follow, doesn't it? Okay. Now I want to bring you another definition of this word believe. I want you to put the word believed. And he who believed. We're going to talk more about this. And these signs will follow those who what? Believed. In my name they will cast out demons. What do you believe in? What he did 2,000 years ago. That's believed. Are you with me? See, you're not believing today for what he's doing today. You're believing for what he did. That's called believed. See, people are trying to... Come on, are you with me? People are trying to get so caught up in now, amen, that we're to take dominion over now, but the only way you're going is to know what you believe, what he did 2,000 years ago. Because there is no space or time in the Spirit. The only thing that limits you to space and time is your mind. We do. What we've been brought up in, we've been brought up in a bondage world, we've been brought up in an arena where we've got to associate and be caught up in the things of present, where we focus on what we feel, what we think, and what we see. That has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Nothing. And these signs will follow those who believed. Because you can't get to a place unless you've believed already. You're not going to get into a place and jump into a place and go, okay, I believe. No, that ain't going to work. You've got to believe before you got there. That's called faith. That's why people, nothing happens to some people. You know that some people come up for prayer and go, I'm believing. No, you believed. Come on. You believed that you've been healed. You believed that you've been free. You believed. Why? Because he did it 2,000 years ago on the cross. It's already done. When he hung up on the cross, he said, it's finished. Amen. He didn't mean it was finished that day. He meant it was finished forever. Because he's not bound by space and time. But we limit ourselves by the natural stupidity of this world. We can no longer limit ourselves associated with space and time here. Because the Bible even says Jesus already he already knew. You and I have already been here before. The Bible says that we are in Christ and we died with him. So you and I already went to hell. We already rose. We sit in heavenly places. Are you with me? Amen. We're already there. The only thing that's limiting us from walking in that place is this. As a man thinketh, so he is. And these signs will follow those who've believed. And in my name, they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. Why? Because you're a citizen of the kingdom. You better have a new language. Hello. And they would take up serpents. We like cutting our heads off. We don't pick them up. Hallelujah. We need to have a class of serpent cutting. Everybody. I keep running for a blade all the time. Man, I need to have a knife right there that says, you know, serpent knife or something. Well, we got a whopper the other day. Yeah. Rosemary's killed 3 in a week already or something like that. Hey, these things manifest from the spirit realm to the natural realm. And they carry spirits and demons. The Bible says in Genesis 1 or 3 that the, somewhere around there, 2, yeah. In Genesis, that the serpent is the most cursed thing there is. Amazes me when people pet these things. You know why? They must have them. I am home. Well, I can tell you stories about that. We got to teach you on that. Get it. It'll blow your mind. Yeah, the carnal mind. It will blow it right up. Help you walk in the spirit. Sometimes we need to put dynamite to our minds, you know? Praise God. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's kingdom business, isn't it? Amen. He who believed passed of what was already accomplished. Not a distance. We're not bound by space and time in the spirit. In other words, you were healed 2,000 years ago. You were birthed from the cross and manifested by the Spirit of Christ. Say, I'm birthed from the cross and I'm manifested by the Spirit of Christ. See, so when Jesus died on the cross, you were born already. Come on, do you get this? You were already born. Hello? You were birthed. I was just waiting for positioning. And then the Spirit of Christ manifested your birth. Okay. Isaiah 53. We're almost done, okay? Hang in there. A couple more hours. No. Come on, just, all right, ask for lunch. Lift your hands now. Lord, we need some manna. Glory. Isaiah 53. Oh, we're going to talk about some of that later. The spirit of want. Woo-hoo. It's called the spirit of lack. But not today. In Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has what? Believe. Hello? What did that word say? Believe. What did that word say? Believe. Believed. Oh, he didn't say, he who believes our report. No, he said, he who what? Believed. He who what? Believed. Glory. We're getting somewhere. Sure got hot in here. Is anybody hot in here? Whew. Glory to God. I had one hand raised. Anybody else hot here? Okay. And he who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? There's a wind blowing. Thank you, dear. Thanks for getting my back. Hallelujah. Everybody just disappeared for a second. Hold on. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. God smitten his own son, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, this was prophetically spoken, wasn't it? And it came to pass by the Spirit, didn't it? Are you with me? And it's the same thing that came to pass by the Spirit that God, through Jesus' death, birthed you, and you became manifested by the Spirit of Christ. Are you with me? Now, this is what he did 2,000 years ago. That's why the Bible says, he who believed. See, if you're in the Spirit, you are no longer bound by space or time. That has nothing to do with this realm. You are a part of an eternal kingdom that is within you. Amen? Now go to Isaiah 55. In verse 10 and 11. And the Bible says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my what? Word. That goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And it did. And it's still going. It's not stopped. It's still going. His word is still, listen, you and I are still here because we're held by the word of God. Amen? Held by the word of God. Hallelujah. The word will not return void. Now, go to Ephesians 3. And he came and accomplished what he wanted to do, didn't he? That's why he said it's finished. And it is finished. And you and I are supposed to walk in a finished state of being. It's finished. That means it's already done. I believed. And because I believed, I'm now doing what I'm doing now because I believed already. Because I'm accepting what he did at the cross. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus the Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through what? Faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, how do we have access and boldness through these? The confidence through what? Faith. Faith. Now I want to share something with you. Because this is where we walk by faith and not by sight. We first have the understanding that Jesus said, if you believe in me. So we know that it's about the Father, isn't it? We understand now that the Spirit of God was birthed, and then the Spirit of Christ was birthed to live in me and you. So that means that you and I have access to everything associated with eternity. The only thing that limits us is us. Are you with me? Okay, now we're going to the place of understanding, which when we were birthed from the cross, now we go back to that arena because he said it was finished. And because all things have been finished and granted to me and you, that by his stripes we are healed, that we cast out devils, and all of these things are not anything that he did today, but what was done already. Because we are not walking in a dimensional realm bound by space and time. We are walking in an eternal realm because the kingdom of God is within us now. That's called eternity. Are you with me? Okay. Praise God. Now he says, okay, so how do we bring what everything has been given to us, right? How do we access everything that he said is finished in from the past to the present? By faith. Faith says, I believed. Faith says, my actions right now is because what he's done, not what he's doing. Come on, are you with me? I'm not praying for you because you're being healed. I am praying for you because you are healed. Amen. I'm not casting a devil out of you because you are free. Hello? Because you're bound. I'm casting a devil out of you because I want Christ to reign in your temple. Are you with me? Why? Because he already paid the price. Every serpent from hell he took on the cross with him. That's why the Father couldn't even look at him. He became the serpent for me and you. The exchange. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Where are we at? Okay, let's go further. Faith in him. Amen? Hebrews 11. It says, works without faith is dead, isn't it? Hebrews 11. Oh, hallelujah. This was going to be a sweet, short teaching. Hallelujah. Well, you guys made me laugh, man, you know. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's past, isn't it? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, you're holding on to nothing until it becomes something. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Faith is bringing in the present what was finished in the past. What Jesus finished. Are you with me? Faith is bringing in the present what Jesus finished in the past. That's why he said it's finished. So even though you may not see the manifestation, you're holding on to nothing until it becomes something. That's why you want to do greater things. It's in you already to want to do it. Because he so desires for you to do greater things, but he's trying to bring you to deeper things so that you can do greater things. Amen? Go to Hebrews 4 while we're here. Oh, hallelujah! Hang in there, we're almost done. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest. What rest? The rest that it's finished! Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is what? It's what? It's what? It's what? Amen. You know why he lives? Because he lives. The word of God is living. And what? And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul, mind, will, and emotions, spirit, and the joints and marrow, which is your body, and is a discerner of your thoughts and intents of the heart. So look what the Word of God does. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Wow. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. And then one more. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, we enter the rest and his accomplishment, the separation. Now listen, it's important. This is talking about the Word of God. It separates you from the labels of the world. Where it pierces your spirit, soul, and body. In other words, the world labels you sick. The world labels you this. The world labels you bipolar. The world labels you whatever the world labels you. The Word of God separates you from the labels of the world. and under the sway of the wicked one. That's why people struggle so much, because they don't know the word. Hello? Praise God. 1 John 4. Is everybody there? Okay, I'm getting there. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Praise God. Beloved, do not believe every demon, our spirit. But test the spirits whether they are of God. Hallelujah. Because many false Christians have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the what? Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Say, I've overcome them. Because he who is in me is greater than he who's in the world. Hallelujah. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to close at 8:34, Romans. Or 8:37. Glory. Romans 8:37. Somewhere around there anyways. Oh, yeah. Let's start at 31. Would you read it with me? Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Do y'all get it? If you didn't, get the tape. Now come on, lift your hands to heaven. Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you for greater things that we may do greater things. We thank you for deeper things that we may do greater things. We thank you, Lord, that you paid the price over 2,000 years ago. And it's no longer that if we believe, but it's that we believed. That we may lay hands on the sick, that we may cast out devils, that we may proclaim the praises unto you and the truth and decree those things that are not as though they are. Lord, I pray today that this seed will grow and bear fruit for your glory. In every area where we have fallen short in this arena and gotten caught up in self, we repent as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning. Jesus, you left your name and you left your spirit that we may have access to all the King's treasures. And for that, my King, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the body, and this is the blood.